YPG's desert rats tested weapons of war so they'd work when soldiers' lives depended on them. Thousands of veterans walk the earth today thanks to their work. After decades of service, all that's left is testament. Desert Rat Testament is a monthly anthology that collects the stories and recollections of retired Yuma Proving Ground employees of decades-long service. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. Julio Dominguez grew up in New Mexico and was a Marine Corps non-commissioned officer and underground mine engineer before his career at Yuma Proving Ground. Starting as a test officer in the Munitions and Weapons Division in 1985, he worked his way up to technical director, the highest ranking civilian at Yuma Proving Ground, a post he held from 2009 until his retirement in 2018. How did you end up testing weapons at Yuma Proving Ground?
I graduated as a mining engineer from New Mexico Tech. I graduated right into the recession of 1981 and 82, which up until then was the largest downturn in the American economy since the Great Depression. There were 15 graduates in my class, and there were only three offers made to us from the industry. I got two of them. One of them was from Kennecott Copper Corporation, mining copper at a mine close to home. I had relatives that worked there. And the other one was from Atlantic Richfield, large energy company, ARCO they call it now, that was mining thick seam coal in the middle of Wyoming, about 40 miles south of Gillette. I picked the one closest to home, and it turned out to be the wrong decision. The recession tightened, especially in the manufacturing sectors. The metal mines, including the one that had hired me, shut down. So there I was, about to get my shiny new mining engineering degree, and there were no jobs out there. I was lucky enough to get hired on a temporary one-year appointment with the Bureau of Mines in Denver. Neither my wife, Kathy, nor I liked living in Denver, which led me to the first offer I could get in a small city, which was Yuma. And this is how I got to be here.
Now, when you started at YPG, I imagine you thought you'd stay for a year or two and then go back into mining when the recession ended. Obviously, that didn't happen. So I expect having interesting work induced you to stay, but what about the community itself, living in the Yuma community? Did that influence you?
Well, you're right about the interesting work. When I first started working at YPG, I wanted to eventually get back into the mines in New Mexico or elsewhere. I had picked engineering and mining engineering as a career specifically because I was very interested in the technology. Before I started going to school, I worked at the San Manuel mine, which was then the largest underground mine in the country, northeast of Tucson. And I was fascinated by the technology, the engineering and construction effort it took to develop that mine. We went half a mile into the ground every day, riding elevators that carried 100 of us. However, after working at YPG for a while, I became intrigued with the technology here, which was every bit as deep as you wanted to get into it. As far as the small city feel of Yuma, my wife and I fell in love with it. We were both raised in small New Mexico villages, so neither one of us had really been comfortable living in Denver. And that's definitely one of the reasons we stayed. Well, we also found out that living in Yuma has a bonus in its proximity to San Diego or Phoenix, because if you ever wanted something that was available only in the large cities, we could go there.
By the time you became technical director of Yuma Proving Ground, the Army was in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting insurgencies, and YPG was testing equipment that was vital for those efforts. And the focus of national security by that time was a lot different than what it was when you started at YPG in 1985. I mean, what were the big test programs when you started, and what were you working on when you were a test officer?
Okay, good question. In the 1980s, the operational tempo and workload of the Proving Ground were certainly not what they are today, especially in the recent years when the peak of the war effort was going on. Remember that we weren't fighting a war, but we were in a Cold War with the Soviet Union. So new weapons were being developed and older ones were being upgraded. We were always busy. I'd been at YPG only 6 years when our troops invaded Iraq for the first time, the first Gulf War, and we did some rapid turnaround testing to answer questions from the field during the buildup for the invasion. Those of us who were involved in testing tank ammunition were pretty elated when we started getting reports that the rounds that we had tested here did a great job of destroying the Soviet armor that the Iraqis were armed with. And the guys working the Bradley and M1 programs were also proud of their work because both of those platforms worked very well over there. Some of the big programs being worked in my division, munitions and weapons, when I was one of the newer employees, included testing ammunition for the 105mm tank gun, which is no longer used. But the round from that was often called the Silver Bullet of Desert Storm, if you remember. And then we were working on developing the ammunition for the larger bore, the 120mm tank gun, as well as new mortar cartridges and electronic fuses for artillery weapons. We were also busy testing upgrades to the M109A3 howitzer to upgrade it when they upgraded that platform to the M109A6 Paladin howitzer. I guess it's at the A7 level now. But at that time, they upgunned the howitzer with the M284 cannon, which was much more robust than the cannon that had been in there. And then we also wound up testing the hotter, more powerful propellant charges that were the M284 cannon was going to be fired.
Yeah, you mentioned about the 105 round in the first Gulf War.
Yes.
The ground war was over inside of 96 hours.
Yes.
Do you think YPG testing played a part in that?
Absolutely. It was over in 96 hours because everything our tankers looked at and shot blew up and was, rendered ineffective.
It's common for YPG senior ranking civilians to have started their careers as test officers and worked their way up like you did. And most of them I talk to tell me that they find management rewarding and so forth, but still they miss the camaraderie and the joy of being on the tactical level, being with the men every day. Was that your experience?
I had similar thoughts to those. I had really enjoyed the freedom of being a project engineer. It was very independent work. I did my own thing and gave my supervisor occasional updates, interacted a lot with customers. And the big plus was that we had very few meetings to attend. But after a short while of being a branch chief, I realized that the higher grades enable a person to effect needed changes. You know those things that bugged you when you were an engineer that didn't get fixed. Well, here's your chance to fix them. That kind of thing. The higher you go up the ladder, the view of your of the place YPG has in the big ATEC picture, in the big Army picture, is you're more aware of that view. And at some of these meetings where you go to, you can have an influence. You can influence things that will shape decisions that affect the proving ground. So there are pluses to getting up the ladder someday. I did miss the camaraderie in action, but I tried to visit the field at every opportunity that I had. I tried to get out there just to keep in touch with what was happening on the ground, which is where the testing happens. And I was always comfortable in the shops or at the test sites. I think due in large part to the fact that I had grown up with a lot of the people who were working there. I was a director, a tech director, whatever. But to me, they were just friends that had helped me when I was a project engineer.
YPG's mission, developmental testing of weapons of war, is inherently dangerous, but the number of serious injuries and fatalities over decades relative to the sheer number of ordnance fired and vehicle miles driven and so on is stunningly small, it seems to me. So obviously safety's paramount at YPG. How did you mitigate these inherent dangers?
Given what YPG accomplishes every day and activities that, as you said, are inherently dangerous, the proving ground safety record is magnificent. In my time out there, we had one fatality. A young man got killed firing a howitzer, and we had one incident where two guys almost got killed by a mine. But the record that YPG has right now is a tribute to the professionalism of the people who analyze the hazards and develop procedures to mitigate them, and certainly to the professionalism and teamwork of the people who strictly follow those procedures in accomplishing the hazardous tasks, because that's what keeps people safe.
These days, Yuma Proving Grounds absolutely at the forefront of Army modernization efforts. We hosted Project Convergence 20 and 21. The past three secretaries of the Army have visited Yuma Proving Ground. The Chief of Staff of the Army has been there multiple times. The just retired Vice Chief of the Army was there multiple times. But I know historically YPG's reputation was it was kind of a bootstrap operation. There are other proving grounds that had higher ranking officers and were more highly visible to the brass and with the general public. So could you have imagined that outcome when you started at YPG in 1985?
I heard from some of the old timers that for a while, after its inception as a proving ground, YPG was thought of about by many as a place to shoot things that didn't fit elsewhere. In the 1960s, it was, as I understand, a predominantly a production acceptance tester for a lot of the artillery that would be artillery projectiles and propelling charges that were being produced for the Vietnam War. But by the time I arrived in 1985, YPG had brilliant, progressive people just about everywhere. There was it was certainly not at the scale that you see out there now, but we had competent professionals in electronics, optics, geodetics, in the maintenance shops, and in other test support units. And we had some of them in our test engineering divisions as well. A few people had been transferred over from over here from Aberdeen Proving Ground in the 1970s to form the cusp of what later would become the Aviation Division. So as our workload grew across the late 80s and 90s, we expanded our civilian and contractor workforces, and we handled the increased workload well. By the 1980s, our reputation as a good test center was solid. I was told that by several project managers who told me that they were not enticed to go off to Navy test centers or even other Army test centers that wanted them there, because they didn't want to move their workload there, because YPG delivered a good product in a timely manner at a good price, and that's what they have to work around. The ultimate trial of YPG's standing as a top tier test center came during operations Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom, which required that YPG test many different types of equipment, many variants of the MRAPs, the strikers, and then counter IED devices, and mortars and radars and munitions for the other equipment to support the war effort. We're talking about testing that lasted, in some cases, multiple years on different items.
There were years Nacotech worked every day but Christmas.
That's correct. And Nacotech was not the only one. I went out there, I forget which of the Christmas Eves, they were firing a mortar out there. It was Christmas Eve, yeah. After all these years, and including the fact that much of the work was done in an expedited manner, often requiring testers to, again, work at all hours of the day or night, we can all look back at one indelible fact: no test stoppage, failure, or significant delay could be attributable to the YPG test mission. And to me, that's what excellence looks like.
Do you think it endures today, that same ethos?
Oh, absolutely. Why? Because a lot of the same people are still out there. People who were young guys when that was happening, young guys and gals, I should say, are now getting up into the senior positions, and they were excellent when they got here. They're going to be excellent when the country, the country needs them now, because you mentioned all these efforts that they're participating in. But when you develop a safety culture, which I think is deeply embedded, a safety and excellence culture, which are deeply embedded in YPG, you can't help but win.
It's going on 5 years since you retired. Do you still keep up with YPG?
I think keeping up is a strong phrase for what I do, because I read the Outpost regularly. There's a few people that I contact or I'm contacted by but to keep up with really keep up with what's happening out there, you have to almost live there or work there every day. But I do hear of their, just in the outpost, I hear the most important stuff that's happening.
Are you still proud of the YPG workforce?
Absolutely. I worked with them a long time, and I was part of them. I believe that my divergence away from mining engineering was actually good luck that came my way. I really believe that. It led to the privilege of working with this great bunch of people. That's this diverse team of superbly skilled, mission-driven testers and others that can beat any challenge put in front of them. I know they can because I saw them do it so many times. It was truly my good fortune to spend my career with them.
Julio Dominguez, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Well, thank you.
For as long as the United States has a military, Yuma Proving Ground will be vital to the national defense. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on The Testament.